some of those songs that Brother Kyle leads, and we do a little bit of ad-libbing in that. I really like that. I really enjoy doing that. I found out a flaw in it, though, and that is if you've got a mint in your mouth to try to keep your throat moist and not choke up here, that gets dangerous. I never slobbered so much and worked so hard to keep that mint in my mouth while singing that ad-libbing part in my life, but enjoy doing that. Very quickly, if you would, turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, chapter 14. And as you're turning there, I want us to ask a question and think about this for just a moment. How many of us would probably raise our hands right now if we were asked, do you want trials? Do you want persecution to come your way? Do you want tribulation? Do you want all sorts of tests that are really going to work your faith hard? I'm going to suggest to you the majority of us would probably say, no, not really. And yet the Bible is replete with passages that tell us that as Christians, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tests. We're going to have these times of troubles and persecutions. They're going to happen to us because we are children of God, because we are Christians. And if we're living as God would have us to live, then they're going to come our way. And really, when you stop and think about it, it's how we deal with them is what's really going to make the difference. In Job chapter 14, beginning in verse 1, it says, man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Some of them actually use that term trouble as turmoil. It says, he comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shadow and does not continue. In other words, as we go through life, trials and tests and troubles are going to come our way. It's reality. I mean, sometimes we've heard the age-old question, haven't we? Why do bad things happen to good people? It's all part of life. Trials and tests, tribulation, persecution, problems are going to come upon us. They are no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter if somebody is rich or they're poor. It doesn't matter if they are old or they're young. It doesn't matter if they might be thought in terms of just a very common man or maybe somebody who is very elite, very prestigious in this world. It doesn't make any difference if somebody is illiterate or just incredibly well-educated, maybe the most educated of people in the world. Trials and tests come our way. Job is a classic example, isn't he? Job is described as an upright man. He's described as a blameless man. He's described as one who stood before God justified. He feared God. We learn from Job chapter 1 and verse 1 that he shunned evil. This was a picture of Job. And still, through all of that, Job had to admit, I am not at ease, he said. Nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes. Job chapter 3 and verse 26. Job lost his children. His wife told him to curse God and die. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. And all the while, these so-called friends of Job reviled him as actually the one who was living in such a way that he was at odds with God, and therefore God was bringing all these troubles upon him. And all the while, he knew better. In the integrity of his heart, Job maintained his faithfulness to God. He still remained faithful. It is true that at one point in time, as we read this great book of Job, and we come along about chapter 37, 38 area, that for lack of a better way to put it, Job got a little bit uppity with God, didn't he? But then God begins to question Job Was it you who laid the boundaries of the oceans? Was it you who laid the boundary of the circumference of the world? And began to ask him a series of questions, and silenced Job. But through all of that, God knew the heart of Job. And God then sets out to correct Job's friends. And actually has to explain to them that his wrath was going to be kindled against them. In fact, God told them that they needed Job to intercede for them. That's the kind of man he was. And yet, he did not escape the trials and tests and troubles. He didn't escape the problems of life. And then, of course, we know if we continue to read the book of Job, after all these problems, all these things that transpired, we see that God blesses Job beyond measure. Now, what can we learn from this? Well, like Job, we need to serve God regardless of the circumstances in life. We need to remain faithful to God regardless of what might come our way. Brethren, we don't always understand why things happen the way they do. We're not given an overall picture sometimes and say, well, this happened to me because of this, or this happened over here, and this was bad and over here, and it was a result of this thing over here. We're not always given that. But regardless, we still have a responsibility to remain faithful to God. We don't always understand why certain afflictions and troubles come our way. We don't understand why our faith has to be tried and tested sometimes the way it is. Just as it is true for the body of Christ, though, as a collective body, it is also true that the child of God individually knows that all things truly do work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. We see that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. The Christian has God's promise that ultimately, and that's really important that we understand this, ultimately all things will work out for the good. They're going to work out in our favor. It might not always be in the here and now. It might not be always when that trial or test is upon us. But ultimately, what we're all striving for, the good will come. Let's look for just a moment. And we're getting very close to this first example that I'm going to use in our Sunday mornings in our auditorium class as we go through the book of Genesis. We're going to come upon the life of Joseph. Trouble came to Joseph, didn't it? Joseph was loved by Jacob. This was the young man that received this cloak or this coat that we refer to of many colors. Clearly, Joseph could have stopped serving God when the trials and tests came his way. But I'm going to suggest to you, when the trials and tests came his way, when the persecution came his way, that it made him into the great man and servant of God that he was. It made him into this great servant that would be faithful to God all the days of his life. You know, among his own brothers, there was envy. We see that in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 11. We learn there that Joseph's brothers couldn't even speak peaceably to him anymore. Joseph was tested. He was troubled when he was sold as nothing more than a piece of property, a slave, for a mere 20 pieces of silver by his own brothers. Once he was sold, he was tried by Potiphar's wife. She looked at Joseph. She wanted to lie with him, but Joseph could not do such wickedness in the sight of God. We see that in Genesis 39. Joseph was tried. He was thrown into prison. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And through all of that, even through all of that, we see that he was blessed by God. But he was tested. He was troubled. So much so that at that point with Potiphar's wife, he ended up leaving a torn garment behind him. He just had to flee, had to get out of the situation. Joseph underwent a test and a trial when he was then, later on, elevated by Pharaoh. Remember the situation there that Pharaoh's having this dream and nobody could answer it? Here's Joseph. Joseph could have gotten the big head here and he could have taken credit for himself, but he doesn't do that. Joseph was put to the test again when his brothers came to Egypt during a great famine, during a great difficult times, and then they learn who he is. There were a lot of people, there would be a lot of people today, who if they were Joseph would look at that, now is my chance to get revenge on my brothers for what they did to me. It would be so easy, wouldn't it? How can you forgive your brothers for what they did? He was put to the test under those circumstances when they learned who Joseph was. His brothers literally feared for their lives. They were afraid that he was going to take vengeance upon them after their father, Jacob, had died. But let's go over to the book of Genesis chapter 50. And let's read verses 19 through 21. Genesis 50, 19 through 21. And Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Now therefore, do not be afraid, I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them, and he spoke kindly to them. Look at the character that it built in Joseph. By undergoing the trials and the tests, things that he did not do wrong, he had done no harm, and yet look what happens, and he looks at it from the standpoint, I'm not God to judge you on this. It's not my place to put you to punish you. You meant it for evil. What you did was wrong. But Joseph, understanding God and understanding that the trials and tests and the persecution and then the troubles and the problems that he experienced, the things that he went through, understood that in the big picture, God was taking care of him. And folks, that's how we need to approach things when trials and tests come our way, isn't it? Know that in the end analysis, God's taking care of things. He's going to take care of us. So he said, I'm not in the place of God. I'm not here to seek vengeance. Remember, vengeance belongs to God, not to man. And he took care of his brothers and their families. Let's go to the New Testament. In Paul's life, I think this is, to me, Paul in the New Testament, outside of, obviously, you know, as we consider the New Testament, we understand that Jesus did not live in the New Testament age. But you look in the New Testament, Paul was probably one of those with the greatest, or at least to me, one of the greatest examples of somebody who had great trials and tribulations and tests come his way. Along with people like Joseph, whenever things get me down, I begin to think, man, life is just not right, it's not fair, things aren't going well, and woe is me. And the trials and tests are just more than I can bear. At least I think that way. I try to think about the Apostle Paul. And I'll go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's read that very quickly. It's not very many verses, 22 through 28. But look at what we learn from this. Beginning in verse 22, Paul asked the question, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and in toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. You know, when you stop and think about that, and I've used this particular passage in multiple sermons. Why? Because what it does is it gives me somebody to look to. If Paul could endure all the things that he endured, why can't I? I haven't been beaten. I haven't received 39 stripes some five times. I haven't been beaten with a rod. I haven't been shipwrecked. I haven't been in peril from my own countrymen. And on the list goes here. If he can do it, certainly I can. Just because trials and tests come our way doesn't mean we have to give in. Joseph didn't give in. Paul didn't give in. Paul was wrongly, falsely imprisoned on trumped up charges. He was ultimately imprisoned in Rome. And in spite of this egregious wrong to him, I mean, it was a terrible wrong, Paul still served God. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul said, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Did you hear that? He, in spite of all the things that happened to Paul in his life and all the trials and tests and the persecution that came his way, he was thankful for it. He says, "This actually worked out for the good." I don't know if I'd gone through all that, if I could have written to somebody and told them that. I would hope I could, but I don't know that I could. While in prison, in Rome, Paul wrote the letters of Ephesus, to Philippi, to Colossae, to his brother in Christ, Philemon. Every one of these letters were approved of by God and recorded for us throughout eternity. It was for the furtherance of the gospel for him to be in prison. And Paul's attitude toward his trials and troubles and tests and all this allowed him to preach and to convert what it to me appears inconclusive or conclusive proof, if evidence is there, that he actually converted some of Caesar's own household. And go back to Philippians chapter 4, let's stay with 1. We're there right now. And let's not stop where it was there, where he talks about here the furtherance of the gospel. But as we turn, as we go back over to the book of Philippians chapter 1, verse 13, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Now, remember what he said. It to the furtherance of the gospel, it's become evident to the whole palace guard and all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Now go over to Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Three chapters over, verse 11, I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now skip down to verse 22 of Philippians 4. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. I get the picture here that Paul had an opportunity, even though he was under what we might consider today as house arrest, that he had access to people in Caesar's household. It might have been servants. It might have actually been members of Caesar's immediate family. But that he didn't waste his opportunities. The trials and tests came, but good came out of them. What a great picture that we have in the Apostle Paul. What a great example we have with Paul here. Folks, the value of trials and tests and troubles are evident. The trials and tests are designed to make us stronger. It's what we do with them. It's how we handle them that really makes the real difference, isn't it? James said it well, I think, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. He said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." And that, on the surface, just doesn't seem right, does it? And yet, this is an inspired writer of God's Word, knowing, he goes on by saying, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That word can be translated endurance. It produces endurance. But let patience or endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. There's an old expression. Just as you cannot sharpen an axe on velvet, neither can you hone a Christian to perfection on a life of ease. Trials and tests are going to come, and they need to come. It's what makes us what we are. It makes us stronger in the faith. The next time something comes our way, and it's a hard thing to do, it's a challenging thing to do, guess what? Because we've gone through something similar or something else, it strengthens us to deal with that next trouble that comes our way. Just as the Christian needs those trials, just as they need those tests, just as they need those troubles to become stronger, at times we also need correction from God, don't we? Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 6. "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord." That's part of sometimes that trial. Sometimes the tests and the struggles that come our way, the difficulties that come our way. He says, "Don't despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you're rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and he scourges every son whom he receives." Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Just, five verses beyond that. "Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it produces the peaceable fruit of righteousness." Folks, if we live faithfully long enough, we're going to see trials and tests come our way. They're promised by the Scriptures. It may not be quite to the degree that we see in the Apostle Paul. It might not be quite on the level of Joseph, but we're going to receive them. And like Paul, and like the faithful prophets of old, God will make sure that when we face those trials and stuff like that, he's going to be there. Folks, Jesus himself was betrayed by Judas. He was rejected by his own family, his own countrymen, and ultimately crucified. But was not God with him through all of that? Was he not raised up from the dead? Was he not, or did he not ascend into heaven to sit at the right hand of God even to today? Folks, we may have to face some things. Sometimes people set out to destroy us. They're vicious. But with God's help, we know that we can be victorious. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16 says, "A just man falls seven times and rises up again." In other words, the just person, he may get knocked down multiple times, but a just person, because God is on our side, will get back up. Isaiah 26 and verse 3 says that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon God. Why? Because he trusts in God. And on we could talk about this. Friends, what a great picture it is. Not always something that we want to think about, not always something that we want to face. But with our good in life, with all the things that we can look around and say, what a blessing it is that I have this, what a blessing it is that I've received that. The trials and tests are going to come our way. And in my personal thought, not only does it make us stronger like the Bible tells us, it's going to make us appreciate the blessings that we do receive even more. Have you tried? Have you been tested? Have you undergone some of these troubles and trials and tests and tribulations and persecution? And yet you've come out on the right side, bless you for that. If you're down because of it, you need somebody to lift you up and somebody to talk to you, we stand ready to do that, to assist you in any way that we can. You're not a child of God. Don't think that becoming a Christian is going to be a life of ease, because it's not. Don't think that once you're a Christian that the devil, old Satan, is just going to walk away from you going, well, I've lost that one. No, he's going to work at it, and he's going to try even harder to get you back. But folks, you've got a promise here in God's Word, and you've got examples here in God's Word of Joseph, who was redeemed because he withstood the trials. And the very passage we even used this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 6, 7, and 8, where Paul said he'd been poured out as a drink offering. Why? Because he fought the good fight, finished the course, and kept the faith. And because of that, Paul could say, there is a crown of righteousness laid up for me right now. But whatever your need may be to become a Christian, and to start that walk, and yes, with the trials and tests of life and tribulation and persecution, but also with the promise of God's help to overcome those things. Or you're a child of God and you need to come back. Whatever you need to do, if you need to respond, won't you do it as we stand and sing this song?